Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello and welcome into the GSMC Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Tom Doherty. It is a Wednesday here, middle of the week, and always a good day for baseball. All 15 games going on, all 30 teams playing on a Wednesday here. We had some weather on a Monday that pushed back a few, or actually just one, the Yankees that had their home opener pushed back to yesterday, so we had to wait one more day before we saw Giancarlo Stanton in those home pinstripes. He did play yesterday, though, against Tampa Bay. The Yankees did win that game, but Giancarlo was having a little issues. He struck out 5 times, so he actually already kind of heard it from the Brewbirds there in the Bronx. So he'll have to kind of make some adjustments, and we'll see about that later in the show. We'll talk about Giancarlo Stanton and his outlook for the season. Obviously, those Baby Bombers looking like they're going to make a good run for it. The pitching is pretty much lined up for him with Sonny Gray and Severino, and they obviously have Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees there, and obviously Aaron Judge, Stanton, and Gary Sanchez are going to supply some serious power. However, last night, actually, in the Bronx, it was the guy they got from the Diamondbacks, D.D. Gregorius, actually one of my sleepers this year for an all-star pick here coming up. Coming up in the summertime of the Midsummer Classic. The all-star game, I believe, is going to be in Washington, D.C. this year. So D.D., I'm looking for him to get a selection to go to the all-star game. He's been playing pretty well. Even last season, he finished the season pretty strong for the Yankees and was playing a good shortstop for them, kind of solidifying that position since obviously the captain Derek Jeter retired a couple years ago. So we'll see kind of how the Yankees figure it out with the middle of their order. They're going to have Stanton hitting that third spot, and then Sanchez in the fourth spot with Judge hitting second, or maybe they even had Judge leading off. I've seen some reports saying that, and moving up D.D. in that, putting him in the middle of that order too, because he's got some pop, and he likes that right field line. You've seen him twist a couple home runs down that right field line, looking pretty good there with that kind of uppercut swing, definitely designed for that short porch down the right field line at Yankee Stadium. So the Yankees got that win in their home opener. Another home opener that happened yesterday was in San Francisco. The Giants got their home season started with some festivities. They started their 60th season in San Francisco. They brought out all the dignitaries. They had all their mayors out there. They brought out a lot of forever Giants. Barry Bonds is on hand. They had Brian Wilson. If you don't remember who Brian Wilson is, Brian Wilson was their closer who finished off their first World Series championship in San Francisco. That was in 2010 when he struck out Nelson Cruz to get the Giants their first World Series championship in San Francisco back in 2010, when they beat the Rangers there in 5 games. That was a big moment, as he was kind of a surprise entry, running in from center field to his old song that he would always walk in when he came into games, Jump Around by House of Pain. That's a good song to walk into if you're a closer, because it just gets everybody pumped up. Not as quiet as intimidating. If you want to talk about closer songs for a little bit, I was actually kind of listening to them on the drive-in today. You kind of had a top 5. Obviously, I have probably a top four. You got to talk about, obviously, Brian Wilson's song, Jump Around. Then you got Enter Sandman, of course. That was the song Mariano Rivera would run into. Then you got Hell's Bells. What, AC/DC, that was Trevor Hoffman. I mean, if you're a Padres fan, you always would remember hearing those bells playing at Qualcomm Stadium before Trevor would rock out of the bullpen. And it was just, if you're another team, that talk about an intimidation factor. I understand, man, that's pretty intimidating as well. But Hell's Bells by AC/DC, you just have those ominous bells just ringing in the back, or ringing throughout the stadium, and then all of a sudden a great guitar riff hits, and Trevor runs out of that bullpen, and he's going to start throwing some nasty changeups at you. Obviously, Trevor, a Hall of Famer now, being enshrined, and then obviously Mariano Rivera, will definitely be seeing him in Cooperstown coming up in the next few years, that when his time, when he's eligible to go, he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. No problemo about it. Some more debuts at home. Obviously, we've gone through a first full weekend, but now we have these teams coming back to their, the teams that open up on the road are coming back to their home ballparks. Always some nice festivities when you see that. We had Shohei Ohtani. Talked about him a lot in the last episode on Monday, and his pitching prowess when he had his first outing on Sunday, looking pretty good against the A's. Yes, some people want to save the A's. I've reading all my message boards saying all those couch scouts, Ohtani's a bust. He didn't have that good of a spring. He gets his first hit and his first at bat in the major leagues in the first game of the season here. Has his first start. Oh, but it's the A's. Now he comes home. He comes home to Anaheim. First at bat, what does he do? He parks one. I understand they actually didn't move that. So if you've been to Angel Stadium in Anaheim, they have that big right field home run wall that runs all the way out to the center field fence, and it's probably about a 12 to 15 foot wall out there in right center field that goes all the way down to close to straightaway right field, and they actually moved that line down, so it's like a normal 7 to 8 foot wall now, so you can get, there's going to be a lot more home runs. Mike Trout actually already had kind of a home run that would have been at least a double for him last year, but it actually got over the new yellow line they had there. Ohtani didn't even waste any time about that. He hit it over the old wall. He would have been a home run last year. It got about two or three rows deep in those bleachers out there. He kind of golfed a little slider that kind of dropped right by his mid thigh, and he deposited it in the bleachers out there. So he's looking pretty good. Did finish 3 for 4, 3 RBIs. In that game, as the Angels took care of the Cleveland Indians last night by a score of 13-2. That was not a good game for Cleveland. Cleveland kind of having a little rough start. They only took one out of three in Seattle to start the season off. They did get a win last night, the night before last on Monday, but they could not keep the Angels off their backs as they gave up 13 runs and got pretty much obliterated last night with the Ohtani-san coming out with some serious power. Obviously, Mike Trout getting his first home run of the season, too. Mike Trout, I actually did forget to do. I was talking about doing my way too early MVP picks and way too early Cy Young picks on Monday. We'll get around to that this show for sure, as we already kind of have done our favorites for the divisions. I'm not going to quite get to the World Series picks yet. I mean, it is April. It's a long season. Talked about that a lot in the first show, the fact that this is definitely a marathon, not a sprint. The baseball season is the longest season in professional sports. I mean, continuous season, that is. There are some sports that just keep going year-round, but they have breaks. Baseball, though, you got to be ready. You got to be conditioned. You got to be seasoned. And that's the one thing about I want to talk about with Ohtani, if we're going to keep talking about him, is that yeah, he might be good in the beginning. You still have those couch scouts out there who just wanted to keep saying he's a bust. He's not a bust. We're gonna make that take right now. He's not a bust. But can he sustain that talent and that ability to do both pitching and hitting so well on this scale, on this level? Before somebody or a team or the whole league kind of figures him out. I think definitely the pitching is going to stay. The pitching is going to stay. He's going to keep that hitting up, obviously. Hitting is a different game. Hitting is a lot about rhythm, timing. I mean, you get in good grooves, people get in slumps, people find holes in your swings, you get bad pitching matchups. I mean, obviously the Angels, the way they're going to use him, because he is that DH and he is that two-way player. They don't have to necessarily – he's not going to play every day. I mean, this is his first game as a DH since Thursday. So, I mean, he's only been DH twice, that on Tuesday and then last Thursday. So Mike Swisher is definitely going to pick his times, pick his matchups when it comes to Shohei. I don't think he's really going to face any lefties quite yet. He faced Tomlin last night and touched him up pretty good. So – I think they're going to keep him up against righties and then have Pujols. Well, Pujols actually played first last night, had two hits. Not bad for Albert Pujols there. He's becoming that defensive liability at first base where he didn't even complete the game at first base. But he'll probably be facing more of those if they're going to face lefties more. He'll be DHing during those games. And then Shohei will be DHing probably during the games where they're facing more righties. And then obviously probably won't be DHing at least two or three games before his starts. So, I mean, they are doing that six-man rotation, so he's only going to pitch every 6 or 7 days. So he probably can get at least two or three games of a DH, get some at-bats in there, because that's the other thing about hitting is that you can't really go hot and cold. You got to be able to get a rhythm in. You got to get your at-bats. You got to get your time to the plate, because if he gets he pitched on Sunday, but then he hit on Thursday and then also yesterday, a Tuesday. That's kind of a long layoff in between actually facing major league pitching, live pitching. So he's going to have to get more of a routine. Obviously did not hurt him that much yesterday going 3-for-4, but you know, he's going to have to figure it out when it comes to his routine, whether how him and Mike Socha are going to figure out their usual go about how they go about the with his with the rotation, with the pitching, and with his at bats. Make sure he gets the amount of at bats that he needs in order to keep his timing down, his rhythm with the plate down. Because the pitching, though, pitching is usually every five or six days. That's what pitchers are normally used to. That's what he's used to from Japan. I'm not sure how they managed him back then. Over in the Nippon leagues when he was playing over the last year when he was playing over there. I mean, he is only 23 years old, so if anybody has the body to be able to endure the time off and go and hit and then go back to pitching and doing both of it, it's probably this kid, because he is 23 years old and he's 6'4 and he's a big dude. So I mean, I was saying he was cruising at 96 on Sunday. He was also topping out at 100 miles an hour. I mean, this guy throws absolute gas. And then also he has a pretty good stick at the plate too. He's looking pretty good up there. I mean, if you just watch him, if you didn't even know who he was and had never seen him pitch or had never heard about him being a pitcher, you probably wouldn't even know watching him hit that he was a pitcher, because he looks like a pure hitter up there, and he has a nice flat swing, goes after the ball, got that ball down low off of his lower thigh early in the game yesterday in his first at bat, and then also collected another double. No, two more singles though, and three RBIs. So got to appreciate that if you're an Angels fan, and you got to be able to be excited about the future, because I mean, he's just a transcendent player in my book. I mean, it's early. We'll see how he goes, but being in that market, he's never going to be shuffled away and put on the shelf, and we're not going to forget about him, because he's playing in Los Angeles, playing for the Angels, playing for a team that is trying to make a run this year. Let's see if they get their pitching all lined up. Obviously, he's going to help on that too, because he is a pitcher, and we'll see what they're going to do, because he is a talent. Getting back over to the Yankees, we're going to go coast to coast here with LA and New York, sticking in those big markets. Back to the Yankees with Stanton. He did strike out 5 times yesterday. The Rays pitching staff got to him there. That's what's going to happen. You got to take your lumps. You got to take the bitter with the better if you're Stanton, because I mean, that's what you saw last year with Aaron Judge. The guy hit over 50 home runs as a rookie, but he also struck out, I believe he struck out over 200 times, or at least 150 times, which is kind of what you see. And with home run hitters, the only guy that I think in baseball history that we've seen with the low strikeout numbers, high home run numbers has been Barry Bonds. I mean, Barry Bonds was that guy who did not have an out pitch. You could not find a hole in his swing. He could cover plate to plate. He crowded the plate. He had quick enough hands to turn on the inside pitch. He knew how to go opposite field, take the offside pitch the other way. So, I mean, you've seen players like Jim Thome and Jose Bautista and other guys like that who hit a lot of home runs, but they also strike out because they swing hard and they swing often, and they're trying to get, when they make contact, it's worth it, but when they don't, it's just another strikeout. I mean, you got to get used to it. So, the 5 strikeouts is a lot, though. If you're Giancarlo, you probably want to make contact a few times. So, put the ball in play. When you put the ball in play with his strength, good things will happen, even if he doesn't launch it out of the yard. But I'm not worried about it when it comes to Giancarlo. He's playing in that little park over there in North Bronx, and he has the absolute power to knock it out in any part of that park. I mean, I'm looking forward for him to hit it up over where Judge was hitting him last year, up in the top of those bleachers in left field. And then he also has the power probably to shoot one to right center field up and maybe even get it through that little part of the stadium that's open and hit it over where the subway tracks are. I mean, that's definitely possible. He's got some serious power. Or maybe even flip one into the second deck from the right side, opposite field, put one in the second deck in the right field. So definitely something that's going to happen. Could even happen tonight. The Yankees got the win anyways. They won 11-4. Like I said, D.D. Gregorius did carry them last night. I mean, he put on a show, two home runs, another double. So, I mean, he was hitting right in that motor. So they do say, look at that. I was talking about how they're going to put the order together. They have Gregorius right now hitting fourth. He hit cleanup last night. I mean, he's hitting like a cleanup hitter. I mean, you got to like it because he's got that swing right, modeled right for that right field porch. And then Stanton hitting third, Judge hitting second, and Gardner leading off with Sanchez hitting fifth. So, I mean, that's a pretty nice lineup right there if you're Aaron Boone as a rookie manager coming in and getting those kind of players and being able to just pencil those names in. I mean, I probably could do that myself, honestly. I mean, managing a team like that, American League, DH, you don't have to worry about what kind of pitchers and double switches and all that kind of stuff like you do in the National League. It's definitely something that I probably could try out. Maybe not do as well as Aaron Boone. He's a good player in that market. In New York, they love him out there. All right. So we talked about the Yankees. We talked about Ohtani a little more. Next, we're going to be talking about a lot of different stuff. I'm going to actually go over some of the games for Monday and Tuesday. There was a couple exciting games, a lot more home runs, lots of runs being scored. And so we're going to go over that when we get back. We are back.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Last segment, we talked about Shohei Ohtani some more and his home debut in Anaheim. It was quite a debut for him, launching his first home run in Angels red and looking pretty good as he went 3-for-4, knocked in 3 runs, and led to an Angels blowout win over the AL favorites, actually, the Cleveland Indians. They're looking like a favorite in the AL. Obviously, the AL is looking pretty good. They got 3 or 4 teams up there at the top with obviously the defending World Series champions and the Houston Astros. Cleveland was in that World Series the year before where they had that 3-1 lead against the Cubs and blew it. They're looking all right, though. A long season. And then obviously the Yankees and the Red Sox over there in the East looking like they're going to be contenders this season too. So we're going to go over some scores, go over some matchups, some big stuff that happened yesterday and on Monday. So on yesterday... We'll talk about it some more in the next segment, obviously, with the home runs. We had another guy hit 3 home runs. With Christian Villanueva for the Padres hit 3 home runs. And I know people, there was a lot of stuff over the social media saying, on the day Giancarlo Stanton struck out 3 times, a Padres hitter, not named Eric Hosmer, but it was Christian Villanueva, that launched 3 home runs. That was against the Rockies. They won that game 8-4. Dodgers, Kershaw gets beat again. Kershaw had 4 losses all of last season. He has 2. So, I mean, he has 2. He's 0-2 to start the season off. Still has that nice little 2.25 ERA through 2 starts. I mean, you can't complain about that. But the Diamondbacks did take that one 6-1. Astros took care of business in Baltimore. They won that game 10-6. Actually, against Baltimore, they played at home in that game. They were in Houston in that game. Let's see. I think it was Josh Reddick who kind of went off in that game. Josh Reddick had a nice game. He had a grand slam, 2 home runs for Josh Reddick. One of them was a grand slam. Carlos Correa hit his 2nd of the year already. Adam Jones hit his 2nd, and then Jonathan Scope got on the board for his first of the year. I like Jonathan Scope. He's kind of the underrated second baseman. Big, tall guy, lanky guy, got a nice swing, can launch the ball, good launch angle. And that's all it's all about this year. And it was kind of last year when you're looking at these Amazon Web Services, the Extreme. They're looking at deep into these this launch angle, exit velocity. I mean, they already kind of know you want to be between like 30, 35 degrees on the launch angle. That you'll see if you watch some of Aaron Judge's highlights last year, you probably saw the fact that he has a great launch angle with his swings. I mean, that nice. He's got kind of an uppercut, but he's got a little flat. He can get it flat. Giancarlo Stanton, same way. When he goes and gets the ball down low, it's a flatter, more flat swing, and he can kind of gets the ball and gets that good backspin. I'm going to imagine what Barry Bonds' launch angles were. I'm going to look back at that, see if they have those stats for me. A couple blowouts we had, other than obviously in Anaheim, we had a few teams score double-digit runs. Obviously, the Astros, like I just said, Atlanta, they blew out the Washington Nationals, give them their first loss of the year. In a slugfest, the Nationals dropped this one 13-6 in Atlanta. The Braves looking pretty good. I think the Braves, they're a young team in that new park. Obviously, playing in that AL East might give the Nationals some fits there throughout the season. I'm thinking, keep an eye on them. I like the fact that they've been able to keep Freddie Freeman. They've been able to develop some young pitching. They got Nick Markakis over from the Baltimore Orioles. This is like, I think, his second or third year with the Braves, and they're looking pretty good. Bryce Harper did homer in that loss. He's another home run, big long home run for Bryce Harper, up into those right field bleachers. That's a pretty little park over there. If for those who are out in the Atlanta area, go over to Cumberland and go watch a game at SunTrust Park. I mean, it is kind of a shame that they had to already move out of Turner Field. But if you remember, Turner Field was actually designed for the Olympics back in 1996, I believe, for the Summer Olympics when they were in Atlanta. So that was a track stadium that they kind of converted into a baseball field. I mean, Turner Field's beautiful, beautiful stadium. I mean, you got to be kind of upset that they already moved out of there. But I mean, SunTrust Park, when you get the money to build a beautiful new stadium, it is kind of out of the downtown area. So they're trying to help with that traffic issue they had over there. And they got a brand new stadium, which is looking pretty nice. I definitely, when I get down to Atlanta later this year, I want to go take a look at that for sure, because it looks pretty nice. I mean, they brick everywhere. Definitely a good park for them, and you got them doing the tomahawk chop and throughout the whole stadium. It's definitely built for a team that wants to go to the playoffs. So, Nationals dropped their first game. They got a cool little stadium too over in D.C. That's going to be hosting the All-Star game. I talked about that before in the last segment. We're going to have our Midsummer Classic over in D.C. We'll definitely have to have some shows about that coming up this summer. Going throughout the league, still looking at those scores in Toronto. We had the White Sox get demolished by the Blue Jays 14-5. Lots of more home runs in that game. Oh, yeah. Lots more home runs in that game. Five more home runs in that game. That's going to be our next segment. Our next segment is going to be my rant about how many home runs we're seeing already and how many home runs we saw last season. We're probably already on pace to obliterate last season's record, which was crazy. Either these hitters are just learning about this launch angle stuff that I'm talking about, or the balls are just being juiced. I don't understand. Like, they're making the balls differently. I know the home runs are sexier to watch. They're more fun to watch than these low scoring games. We actually did have a couple. We had a 2-0 game and a 1-0 game. Just FYI. There's the best of both worlds, but I mean, if another game was a big blowout, we had three teams, I believe, five teams go in double digits yesterday. Yankees, Blue Jays, Astros, and Angels, and then the Braves all got over that into the double digit mark, and all of them hit a bunch of home runs. Astros hit a few. I know that the Braves hit a few, so we're definitely seeing the balls fly out of stadiums left and right here. I mean, they're also making the stadium smaller. If you look at these new stadiums, like I was talking about before, SunTrust Park, it's got a home run porch. They know what they're selling. I mean, it's actually kind of a cool, like, terraced outfield in the right field there in SunTrust. I mean, they have those kind of, it's all like terrace seating. So instead of like a common bleacher seating, they're all like little bars. They have little little tables or basically like a big bar in front of them. They're all terraced down. So, I mean, you're not going to fit as many people obviously in there, but that's not what it's all about anymore. It's not about packing as many fans as you can in the stadium. It's about making the experience and making sure you can have some food in front of you instead of having it fall in your lap. You have a nice little table in front of you or like a little bar area to be able to watch the game and then also enjoy your beverage and have some nachos or something. Or if you're in Seattle, you can have some crickets or grasshoppers. Grasshoppers, right? I think they're doing grasshoppers they started that last year in Seattle, the Mariners games. You can get like Chipotle grasshoppers or something like that. They're deep fried and they sold 25,000 orders last year. It's crazy. I mean, good source of protein, I guess, if you're thinking about it like that. Next game I want to get to, definitely had this game marked on when I was looking on the scores earlier before the show, was the Cardinals Brewers game. And the fact that the Brewers hit home runs, they hit two home runs, and they were the last two players to hit in the game. They were trailing all game, actually. They were trailing 4-0 most of the game. Did make it 4-1 after five, scored two in the eighth, and then down by a run in the ninth, down 4-3 in the ninth, Christian Yelich, with two outs, hit a ball way, way out to tie the game in right center field. I mean, that ball was crushed. If you can look up the highlight, go watch that Christian Yelich highlight. That ball was absolutely mashed. That was his first home run as a Brewer. And then Ryan Braun came up right after him and did not waste a pitch. The very next pitch that came out of the pitcher's hand, who was that pitching for the Cardinals? We're checking. I want to see who did that. Dominic Leone for the Cardinals. After serving one up to Christian Yelich, he laid one out for Ryan Braun to put over the left center field wall to win that game for the Brewers. I mean, it was back-to-back pitches, back-to-back home runs on back-to-back pitches to walk off the Cardinals. The Brewers winning that one 5-4 over in Milwaukee at the nice, I mean, Miller Park. That's another thing. They were getting, like I said, talking about these small stadiums. We already have a lot of home run stadiums. I mean, I talked about the fact that they lowered the wall in Anaheim. They've moved the fences in San Diego. We've already gotten big home run parks in Arizona, Milwaukee, Cincinnati. This is this National League I'm going through. When the wind's blowing out, Wrigley Field is a big home run park. I mean, Colorado, obviously, because you're playing a mile high up in the air. And it's just, we love the home run. Love it, love it, love it. Let's look at those other games, actually. Let's look at this. Look at those low-scoring games. The Mets beat the Phillies 2-0. Was that a pitcher's duel? Who started for the Mets? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's actually a pretty good little sight right there. You got Matt Harvey pitching for the Mets. I mean, we all remember Matt Harvey from his days back in 2015 when they were in the World Series against the Royals. In that World Series run, he was their guy. I mean, they were supposed to have this three-headed monster with DeGrom, Syndergaard, and Matt Harvey. And Matt Harvey just kind of fell off the face of the earth for a little bit there. And it's a good first start for him. Only five innings, but only allowing one hit, one walk, no runs, five strikeouts. So that's pretty good. If you're a Mets fan, it's good looking right there. And then the tough luck loser for the Phillies was Lively. That's this Phillies team. I'm going to talk about that in the next segment when I go over my matchups for today, actually, for Wednesday. This Phillies team has some bright little stars going. I'm going to talk about Aaron Nola coming up in this next segment, and the fact that he's it's going to be my fourth segment. I'm just looking at what I want to do. This fourth segment when I go over those games, Aaron Nola is a guy he's been in the league for a couple years now. He was their number one starter, pitches on opening day. He's got some nasty breaking stuff. He's a tall right-hander. I mean, he's a good little pitcher. And then obviously we have some Phillies guys that are coming out of the ranks. They're going young. They got Gabe Kapler, who I feel like just stopped playing for the Rays like last year. So I mean, they're going full young everywhere. So, I mean, you got to look at that. And then obviously there's the kid from Reese Hoskins who's sitting right in that four hole. He's the guy who went to Oregon State or make that Sac State out of Jesuit High School in Sacramento. So he's I actually know him. So he's actually a pretty good guy. So we'll see how he does. He was hitting a tear. I think he hit like 20 home runs last year in like 2 months. So we'll see if he can keep that up this year. The other 1-0 game was in Detroit. The Tigers got shut out, and it was on the pitching performance of another guy that is probably going to be heard of later. Is it Jacob Yunus? He went 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. That's looking pretty good right there for the Kansas City Royals. We remember the Royals from those days when they were having those starters like Danny Duffy and Vargas go like 5 or 6 innings, then just hand it over to their bullpen, which was so good before they couldn't keep paying them when it comes to Tom Holland. And the other guy, Mr. Wade Davis, who wanted to get his payday. So, I mean, once the Royals got their World Series championship, good for Kansas City getting that World Series championship, especially after losing to the Giants the year before, like getting back to that World Series, beating another big market team in the Mets. And then, obviously, now they're kind of losing all their guys. We'll see if they can rebuild again. They still have Escobar and Alex Gordon. Actually, Moustakas also resigned there. So they lost Lorenzo Cain. He went to the Milwaukee Brewers, and then obviously Hosmer, if you haven't noticed, got an 8-year deal from the Padres. All right, so we kind of went over the games from Wednesday. I didn't really get to Tuesday. There was just so many home runs last year. Monday. On Tuesday, there was so many home runs. So Monday, let's see, was there anything notable on Monday that I can bring up that's more exciting than Tuesday, other than the fact that more teams had home openers? Nobody hit double digits on Monday. Look at that. We had 5 teams hit double digits on Tuesday. Nobody hit double digits on Monday. We had 2 games that were postponed. And, oh yeah, I do want to talk about one game. We did have a game go 15 innings. It was a Dodger game. The Dodgers. Let's see if this is a mark for maybe some karma from last year, because everything kind of seemed to go their way last year until the World Series. The Diamondbacks playing the Dodgers. Dodgers were up 6-3 in the 9th inning with Kenley Jansen, who is a good closer. You got to give him credit there. But Kenley Jansen walked 2 guys with 2 outs, and then Chris Owings hit a homer to tie the game with 2 outs in the 9th inning. And then they played 5 more innings. So the whole idea of that speedy game kind of went out the door there. That game lasted about 6 hours, I think. 5 hours and 46 minutes to play 15 innings. A little more runs scored there. The Dodgers did score a run in the 15th, but then could not hold that lead either, as they gave up 2 runs in the bottom of the 15th and lost that game by a final score of 8-7 on Monday. That's really kind of the only notable game that I can talk about right now, because that was the only one that was pretty exciting. Everything else was pretty much your run-of-the-mill Monday in Major League Baseball. All right, next segment, we're talking about home runs and the fact that I think that these balls are juiced. We had home runs everywhere, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk about some more home runs.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Last segment, we talked about some of the games that happened on Wednesday, and also one that happened on the games on Tuesday, and one of the games that happened on Wednesday that caught my eye. This segment, we're talking about just an outlook for home runs this year, and the fact that home runs are the sexy thing that's going on. It's been a sexy thing that's going on in baseball for a while. We like seeing that long ball. Chicks dig the long ball. That's been the saying for a long time around the baseball circles. But, I mean, now it's getting a little ridiculous, in my own opinion. We do see some of these low-scoring games. But then also we see some games like we did yesterday, five of them, that where teams went for double digits scoring and hitting balls over the fence everywhere. And I think it's just... This is going to be a little bit more of a rant on home runs. We did see that Padres hitter hit three home runs yesterday. That's the second. I mean, it used to be that three home runs used to be like that Easter egg you found in a video game that you've been searching forever for. It used to be kind of that albatross kind of thing where it did not happen nearly as often as it is happening. I believe last year, Judge hit either one or two games where he had three, and Stanton had one where he had three. Those are big power hitters. Now we're having guys that most of you, unless you're diehard baseball fans or you happen to be White Sox or Padres fans, haven't even heard of. Matt Davidson on opening day hit three home runs, and now we have Christian Villanueva knocking three out against for the Padres against the Rockies. So, well, I mean, it's just interesting to see how baseball is kind of being shifted. We had one year where, I remember a few years ago, where it was all about the no-hitters. We had seven no-hitters in one year or something like that. I think last year we barely even had one. Was the Volquez? I mean, we got to find out if the Volquez no hitter was either last year or the year before. We may not have even had a no hitter last year. So, either hitters are just figuring out those pitchers. They're searching that. I mean, they're learning how to get that launch angle down correctly, because home runs are the way to do it now. I mean, it's in the game where it used to be all about get him in kind of thing, where you get your leadoff guy gets on first, either he steals second or you bunt him over, or he gets a double, gets a second, you hit a ball to the right side, move him to third, and you score a run without even getting a hit or even two hit, without getting two hits. I mean, you still can do that, obviously. It happens, but just less and less and less every time, because we're seeing guys just swing hard and swing for the fences a lot more. I mean, whether it's these pitchers that are just trying to overthrow and their off-speed just happens to be hanging in the middle of the zone, they're not locating as much, we're putting too much emphasis on the fact that you need to throw hard and not locate, because, I mean, you can throw hard. It is harder to square up a 95-mile-an-hour fastball than it is to square up an 87-mile-an-hour fastball. That's true. But in the Major League Baseball, the highest baseball league there is in this world, guys can hit that. Guys can square up 95 just as easy, and they can pull it. They can go the other way. They can go center field. It doesn't matter. They can take the ball out of the park and in any way on any pitch, pretty much, especially on those fastballs when they're looking fastball. When a hitter is looking fastball and he gets one, watch out, because he's probably going to knock it hard. He's going to probably hit it hard, and you just hope he hits it at somebody. Because the thing about baseball now, and that's probably why you can't really defend a home run. That's why it's becoming, obviously, people are just trying to swing for those fences, because either they're getting tired of hitting line drives at people and trying to go for those line drives in the gaps, or just, you know what, we're just going to hit it over your head. We're just going to swing a little harder. I don't really care. Maybe I'll strike out some more, but I'll hit more home runs, and we'll score more runs that way. But you got to get people on base, obviously. The solo home run is, if you're a pitcher, isn't the worst thing in the world, because it's just one guy. The more it gets on base, three-run homers are a killer. Grand slams are a little more rare, even though those are happening more and more often now these days, because pitchers either get a little more in their heads, they can't throw strikes, then all of a sudden they get the bases loaded, they're trying to lay one in the zone, and it doesn't look that good for them, because they're trying to just lay one in there, and then all of a sudden it gets away, and they have a gopher ball because they put one right down the middle, and the hitter just knocked it right out of the park. Because you got to just watch out. These are major league hitters these days. And I watched the World Series last year, and it just looked like the Dodgers were laying fat pitches right in the zone every time. Whenever they were up by a run or two, they would just lay Carlos Correa, a great hitter, or Jose Altuve, even Jose Altuve, he has good leverage on a swing. He gets up under the ball. He can lift it up in the, get it up in the air, especially in Houston. You have those short porch in left field, those Crawford boxes. I mean, just hit a pop-up, and hopefully maybe it'll carry out there. I mean, that's the thing about those juiced baseballs, I think, is the fact that, I mean, these guys are hitting balls that probably wouldn't, and if you guys know what carry is, when you get that backspin, and the ball maybe just has that extra push from that backspin, or wind, or air resistance, or something like that, because we're seeing more and more carry all over Major League Baseball. We've had places like Dodger Stadium become more home run friendly. Places like San Diego become more home run friendly, even though they did bring the fences in, but just a little bit. They didn't bring them in that much in right field. They did a little bit. So we still have our stalwarts at AT&T Park, where if you can hit a ball, you can still can hit a ball 420 feet away, not get a home run. And then also in Miami, they have that big long, big deep fence out there in center field. Same thing in Detroit. They have, I think it's 420 to center field. And then in Boston, it's also 419 or 415 into the triangle out there in center field. But still guys managed to, you'll see, still guys managed to hit them out. I mean, even yesterday we saw, it was actually in a home run park in Milwaukee. But yesterday we saw Marcell Ozuna for the Cardinals. His first home run, I believe, as a Cardinal. We could check that really quick. Yes, his first home run as a Cardinal went about 479 feet. And that's in Milwaukee. But I mean, it's just that, are we seeing these balls? Are they changing the way they make the baseball? I mean, I don't think so. It's a secret. I mean, it's a secret way they do it. Obviously, baseball, I don't think they would try and keep that from us unless they just are just like, you know what? We're changing the way we make the baseball. We're using a little bit more different material to incite longer flight paths, more home runs. I mean, we used to have that dead ball era. I mean, that was a century ago where you had virtually no home runs. Now we're getting into basically, they've called it the live ball era. Now we're calling it, I mean, now it's like the juiced ball era or something like that, or the jump ball era, because these balls are just jumping off these guys' bats and getting absolutely demolished. I mean, that home run from Ozuna, where'd that pitch go? It's at Miller Park. I mean, he absolutely crushed that ball. I mean, that ball was crushed. So if you go look up that home run from Marcell Ozuna, I mean, it went to the top of the bleachers, almost to the back wall, because they have those big windows at Miller Park that kind of open up. Right now they were closed because of the weather in Milwaukee, and the roof was closed. But he hit that almost to the back of the wall. I mean, that pitch, look at that pitch, right down the middle, knee high, or maybe mid thigh, just above the knee. That's hit me. 92 mile an hour little cutter right down the middle. I mean, just hit me, please. Hit me, please. I mean, baseball fans out there, go, if you're a baseball player and you're a pitcher, go look at that video. Don't do that. It's a little Statcast is telling you right where that pitch was. I mean, that was absolutely, Chase Anderson, what are you doing, buddy? Right down the middle. Fortunately, your guys bailed you out in the ninth inning. And you had some good home runs, obviously. Christian Yelich, I like that player. Kind of was hoping he would end up in San Francisco. But it's all right. He's over in Milwaukee, and playing in Wisconsin up there up north. That was one of those states up there. And he just launched one. I mean, that's another pitch where you're just thinking, why, if you're pitching a lefty, lefty's wheelhouse is middle in, right off the thigh, and he has that kind of swing where he kind of steps in the bucket a little bit. If you don't know what stepping in the bucket means, it means if he has an open stance already, and he actually has a closed stance. But he kind of, look at that. If you watch the video of Christian Yelich's swing, he is actually having just a normal regular stance where his feet are even, but he lifts that leg up, kind of a medium leg kick, and that foot comes down, and it goes towards first base, kind of stepping in the bucket where he clears that front hip out, and that ball just lays right into the swing path. If that pitch is anywhere outside, it probably goes off the end of his bat, or he pops it up or something. I mean, he is a good hitter, so he probably could adjust it to it a little bit, or he read it right out of the hand where he could. I mean, you can't really adjust your foot that quickly. I can just tell you that right now. But he just absolutely demolishes that pitch. That was homer right off the bat. I mean, almost hit the truck out there. They have a big Toyota truck that if he hits it, I think somebody wins a car, and he almost hit it. So, I mean, come on, man. And then the next guy was Ryan Braun. I mean, Ryan Braun's got major power. Ryan Braun, I've seen that guy hit home runs off of his shoe tops. I've seen guys that guy hit home runs up on pitches at his shoulders. I mean, I've seen him hit a lot of home runs. He was another guy where was it questionable that he used performance enhancing drugs, but he was nothing really came of that. Other than the fact that he had to issue an apology letter, unless he actually did. I think he may have gotten actually suspended. But yeah, look at that pitch. That pitch was actually not bad. The pitch is the one Ryan Braun hit was middle away, and he kind of just went out and got the fat part of the bat on it and hit it along a line over the left center field wall. I mean, that ball was absolutely roasted as well. So Brewers won that one. We kind of went over that game already. But yeah, we're just seeing balls launch all over the place, all over Major League Baseball. Lots of home runs. Look at that. We had one in Toronto. I mean, Toronto is a major hitter's park. Avisaíl García may have hit one up at the hotel there, Rogers Center. I mean, that place has a hotel in center field. That ball was crushed. I mean, that hit the facing of that. I mean, probably the third deck. Let's see where it hit. Yep. Over the Budweiser sign. Yeah. Look at that. I can't even see the rooms because if you get a hotel, you can get a hotel room that looks into the stadium at Rogers Center. It's actually pretty cool. And I think he hit right under the window of that hotel because they're way up there in center field. Yeah. If you ever look at a picture of Rogers Center, check out where those hotel room windows are. And that's where that ball hit right there. Just to let you know, that was a 481 foot home run for Mr. García. So these balls. Just flying out. I know it's that was in Toronto. The balls like to fly out there. Didi's home runs, those are kind of different where they kind of just spin down the line. Didi hit 2 3-run homers. Look at that. That's the clutchest homer is when you have two guys on. You have 2 3-run homers. That's always so nice. I wish I had more of those when I was pitching. Had some my guys hit some 3-run homers for me. That's called run support right there, friends. Oh. Lots of home runs. Home runs, home runs, home runs. Get used to it. And it was raining in New York. Let's see. Off Chris Archer. Did he go down the line? Oh, yeah. That's a Linea. Absolutely. I mean, he did hit it hard, but, I mean, that's 314 down the line. Anywhere else, that's probably a double down the line. Look up those DD Gregorius home runs. He dropped the barrel on that. All right. The second one. That one. Oh, yeah. That one was better. That one was better. That one went up in the second deck. That was crushed. I mean, still short porch in right field in like Yankee Stadium, but like I said, DD's swing is looking pretty good, and it's kind of tailored for that to that porch. So he's definitely going to have a good little career in the pinstripes, I believe, hitting in that 4 spot for the Yankees. So they kind of found their new, not quite Derek Jeter. I'm not comparing him to Derek Jeter. I'm just telling you he's going to hold down that shortstop position for the Yankees now, looking like they got somebody to do that since they haven't had somebody do that yet since Derek Jeter. But now they do. So good for Didi and good for the Yankees. They got the win. All right. Next segment, we're going to go over some of the matchups for tomorrow, for today, for Wednesday, and then probably also for tomorrow, for Thursday. Thursday, so if you don't know, Mondays and Thursdays, when the season actually gets started, are the days where teams take their off days. That's how the schedule kind of works. So every other day, other than Mondays and Thursdays, everybody's playing, minus the games that get postponed. So today we have a full slate of games, I believe. There might even be some teams doing some doubleheaders because we had some postponements on Monday and on Tuesday. Due to the weather, it's kind of what happens in April. There's still some cities. I mean, Yankee Stadium was covered in snow on Monday. They got it all cleared off for the game yesterday. Then it was even still raining then. So we'll go over some pitching matchups, go over what I think about some upcoming games, and we'll be right back.
Want to know the latest in soccer? Then listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast. From MLS, the World Cup, and the Premier League, we've got you covered. The latest updates, the hottest matches, and news on the league's top players. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Soccer Podcast.
David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup Finals.
Listen now.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of this GSMC Baseball Podcast here on a Wednesday. We're going to go over some of the upcoming games today and maybe even tomorrow. I was looking at some of these pitching matchups. I talked about the Phillies and Aaron Nola and how I like him. He's actually going to be facing up against Noah Syndergaard over in Flushing, New York, Mets and Phillies tonight. So Aaron Nola looked really good on Thursday's opening day game. He did only throw 68 pitches, but in the sixth inning, having allowed no runs, struck out three. Syndergaard, he did all right too. Got the win in his first start on opening day. Struck out 10. Oh, he did have that injury with the torn right lat last season, so he was been out for about 5 months, and he's coming back now. Coming looking at his second start. That game's actually going to be getting started up pretty soon here, so it'll be ready. It'll be probably be going by the time this is uploaded, all up on that machine, that podcast machine there, whatever platform, however you may be listening, wherever you are. So they already kind of had the lineups actually out right now for looking like, so Aaron Nola and Noah Syndergaard, like those two right-handers, two young guys, kind of had that future of baseball in their hands in the bigger markets in Philadelphia and in New York. Would like to see both those teams kind of get back into the fold here. I'm kind of tired of watching the Nationals lose in the National League Division Series because they just can roll through this division. I actually kind of talked about how I think that the Braves could be a little trouble too. So it might not be that easy for the Nationals this year. I did pick them to win the division, or as a favorite for the division. But yeah, we'll see how that goes. And then also, Noah Syndergaard is going to be in my little talk about the Cy Young Award winners later in this segment. So he's looking like he can be a favorite for that too as well. So, I mean, he has got a couple buddies with Jacob DeGrom and Matt Harvey, who's looking to have a back-to-back year. Matt Harvey could be my sleeper for comeback player of the year. That'd be a good little pick right there if he can get things going in New York. He's going to be that third starter. So, I mean, maybe some of the hype being taken off of him. He got that whole Dark Knight tag put on him playing for the Mets in that big market in New York. They are the number two team, but it's still New York. Definitely big enough for two teams. There's a lot of Mets fans out there. But yeah, Matt Harvey taking some of that heat off of him, maybe slotting him in that third position in the rotation with Syndergaard and DeGrom going 1-2 will do him some good. Other matchups that I was my marquee matchup of the day might not be the marquee matchup of the day for the team wise Orioles Astros, but the pitching matchup is my marquee matchup of the day in the American League. Dylan Bundy against Dallas Keuchel. Bundy pitched very well in his opening day start. Went 7 scoreless, 5 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. So he hasn't yet to yield a run yet. He looks very nice, the young right-hander for the Orioles. And he's kind of their bright spot right now, obviously with the fact that Manny Machado is looking like he's going to be leaving after the season is over and looking for a big contract. Dylan Bundy's going to be the face of their franchise going forward, I believe. And that's nice to have a young right-hander who's been working his way up through the ranks of their system. He's been going up against Dallas Keuchel. You know, we all know Dallas Keuchel, that Cy Young Award, who got that Cy Young Award the year before, I believe, between the wins of Corey Kluber. But yeah, he's that good, crafty left-hander. I talked about him a lot on the last podcast on Monday. He's kind of just that guy where you're going to be frustrated with yourself, probably. Doesn't throw over that too hard. That's Bundy's thing. Bundy throws pretty hard. But Keuchel does not throw hard. He's got good off speed, good location, good little cutter. He's going to get up on your hands. He did drop his first outing of the year, so he's 0-1, but he did have 4 strikeouts and then his 11 home starts last year. So this is going to be his first start at home. He was 6-3 with a 2.26 ERA, which is pretty nice, actually, playing in that little stadium there in Houston. They even brought the fence in center field, too. So that's a kind of a talk about a bandbox stadium. That's one in Houston. He's got a nice ERA because why do you think he does not give up home runs? Oh, that's actually right, because he keeps the ball on the ground. He's a ground ball pitcher. He's got a good little cutter and a good curveball, so guy's going to get on top of the ball, knock it right into the ground. If he gets in trouble, he's always a ground ball away with a double play to get out of that inning. Another marquee matchup, I think, in today's slate is going to be over in San Francisco. Actually, will be attending this game myself. Pretty excited for that. Just to go and check out Felix Hernandez. He's going to be facing Johnny Cueto. It's going to be pretty cool. Haven't seen Felix pitch live before. I've seen Johnny a couple times. Johnny did have that great outing in the last game. Got stuck with a no decision. Giants did win that game. But Johnny carried a perfect game into the, I believe, the seventh inning. Got a little bloop hit from Chris Taylor of the Dodgers took care of that perfect game, though. I mean, he was looking pretty nice and throughout that game. Throughout the sixth inning, Giants couldn't really give him any run support until the ninth inning when Joe Panic hit his home run. Cueto gets to yield a run this year. Four strikeouts in that first outing, and then Felix Hernandez got the win. Same kind of deal there, though. Not quite the perfect game where he was going for a perfect game, but he did pitch 5 1/3 scoreless innings on opening day against the Indians while limited to 83 pitches. He was hurt over the spring, so he's still kind of coming back from that injury and building up that arm strength. We'll see what the Giants can do. He's 3-0 with a 1.86 ERA and four outings against the Giants. So Giants having trouble with King Felix. That's going to be out in San Francisco today at 4:15. So it's going to be a fun one out there. We'll see what the Giants can do, and we'll see how Seattle faces against Cueto, who's been looking pretty nice. I mean, this is the first time last year when he did not come to spring training as early as he could because of the death of his father. He was back in the Dominican Republic dealing with that. This year, the Giants had him all the way from the beginning, so he was able to complete those workouts, build up that arm strength, and now he's looking mighty good, like he's going to return to form that he had when he started the All-Star game in 2016. And looked really nice in a Giants uniform. So, and he's going to have to do that because of the absence of Madison Bumgarner. He's basically the number one starter right now. And that's kind of the matchup we have today. Hernandez and Cueto looking pretty nice. All right. Anywhere else we have something we have notable? Max Scherzer is going to go up against Mike Woltynewicz. Woltynewicz is that young, good starter. He's been in the league for a couple years now for the Braves. Max Scherzer just got he's got nasty stuff. I mean, it's tough to kind of go against him in this game. We can make some picks, but I mean, I would definitely probably take Scherzer in that game. That's going to be starting up here in a little bit. And then Alex Wood against Patrick Corbin over in the desert this afternoon. It could be a good little pitching matchup there. Obviously, you never know when you're playing in the desert. Balls just fly out of there left and right. But two good left-handed pitchers there are going to be putting those left-handed lineups, or they're going to put out those right-handed lineups to combat that lefty today. It's going to be interesting. All right, that looks like it's pretty much it for today. Let's see if there's anything tomorrow that's still any noteworthy. Then we'll get to my Cy Young and MVP picks or favorites. We'll say favorites. I'm not making picks quite yet. Not really. Where is one good matchup tomorrow? I just saw that according to my eye. Tomorrow we have Jacob DeGrom versus Steven Strasburg. Mets and Washington Nationals are coming home to face the Mets in D.C. It's going to be Steven Strasburg against Jacob DeGrom. That's going to be a good one. So tune in. That's going to be early in the morning. It'll be 10:05 on the Pacific time. It'll be 1:05 start out on the Eastern time zone. So afternoon baseball in our nation's capital. So Strasburg versus DeGrom, both of them had very nice debuts. DeGrom only allowing one run in 5 2/3 innings to the Cardinals in his season debut. And this is going to be the Nats' home opener. So he had a first strong start in his first one of the year against the Reds, where he struck out 7 and allowed one earned run through 6 1/3 innings. So DeGrom and Strasburg, two good right-handers. Both throw hard, both have good off-speed pitches. I might have to go tune into that game because it'll be on MLB Network, and that's going to be a good little matchup to watch. That's why you can kind of preview baseball. That's why baseball is one of my favorite sports. You got to preview baseball. You can look at those pitching matchups. You can kind of guess what game is going to be a good one to watch, especially if you like watching pitching like I do, being an ex-pitcher. And you got to appreciate all those nasty pitches these guys can throw these days, especially those two guys, DeGrom and Strasburg, have some of the nastiest stuff in the game. All right, so now we're getting to our part where I want to go over just quickly my favorites for the Cy Young in each league and the MVP in each league. So we forgot about this on Monday. Kind of didn't get to it. But last year we had an interesting race with Mr. Altuve getting that honors. He did deserve it, obviously. I think that maybe we're going to get an Aaron Judge sighting. He's probably going to be my favorite because he's playing in the pinstripes and he has Giancarlo Stanton hidden behind him. So he's going to be seeing even more pitches to hit this season. So I'm going to even throw Aaron Judge in there as my favorite for the American League MVP, even in his second season. He's just got a nice swing. He can hit for average if he gets those strikeouts down. And he's got Giancarlo Stanton hidden behind him in that Yankee order. So that's going to be pretty tough, and he's going to get some pitches to hit because guys don't want to walk people in front of big hitters like that. So he's going to be – they're going to try and get out Aaron Judge so you don't have to face Giancarlo Stanton with Aaron Judge at first base because you walked him. In the National League MVP, that's going to be pretty wide open. I'm always a Nolan Arenado guy, NL West guy, so I like Nolan. Nolan Arenado's been kind of that snubbed guy. Obviously, he gets it that people think his stats are a little ballooned because he plays in Colorado. Maybe sometimes his away stats aren't as good as they could be. But I like Nolan. He's got a great swing. Colorado Rockies third baseman. He's got a great glove too. So if you're looking at somebody who is going to do it at the plate and in the field for an MVP candidate, that's definitely your guy, Nolan Arenado. And then in the American League for the Cy Young, we had Klubot last year. You can't go away from Klubot this year. It would be tough to do so, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with I'm going to say Dallas Keuchel gets back in there, or maybe actually, you know what? We're going to go dark horse Justin Verlander. He's going to have maybe a little renaissance season playing for the Astros. Going to have a lot of good run support. He's got some nasty stuff. And then in the National League, it's a tough one. National League, if Syndergaard can stay healthy, he's a favorite. DeGrom, stay healthy, he's a favorite. And the National League East is kind of stacked in pitching when it comes to pitching. And then obviously Strasburg and Scherzer. And then obviously Kershaw, who is in the West, over in the West for the Dodgers. So it's going to be those guys. I'll probably just leave them all up there. It's kind of a grab bag when it comes to those five guys. You can pick any one of them. Whoever stays healthy in that group, they're going to put up numbers. Whoever can pitch out and last the length of the season and not deal with too many injuries or not drop out for the whole beginning of the season like Madison Bumgarner did will definitely put up numbers and be a favorite for that Cy Young over there in the National League. So those are my picks for those. Not quite my picks, but my favorites for those awards. Way too early favorites for those awards, but it's a long season like we've talked about a lot. In this podcast, the fact that you got to endure it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to make sure you keep your body healthy, make sure you keep yourself in shape, and avoid those injuries at all costs. Nobody likes to get hurt. So obviously we have some people like Syndergaard coming off injury, and then Kershaw dealing with some back problems throughout his career lately, especially. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Hope you enjoyed listening to it. I am Tom Doherty, your host. Like I said, we'll be back on Friday for another baseball podcast. We'll go over what happened today in baseball and Thursday, and then obviously also look at the games coming up for the weekend and then any big stories that arise. Maybe we'll do some more Shohei Ohtani talk, or maybe Stanton will hit his first home run in Yankee Stadium. But you never know. It's baseball. Lots of home runs, lots of good pitching. And it's just a fun game. So happy the season is finally here, and it's going to be here for the next few months. So we are going to have a lot of talk about all the way through October. All right. So we'll see you on Friday. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.